Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Let's give God a shout of praise. We're going to do what's called an expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept. And we're going to be reading out of the book of John chapter 6. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 22 through 40. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 6. And I need my clicker right down there. Thank you. John chapter 6. And we're going to go to the board here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. Amen. And here we go. John chapter 6. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus the Wonder Bread. He's the Wonder Bread. I'm still in wonder of Him. Man, is God awesome to you? Is He your all in all? Is He everything that you could have ever imagined in your life? Man, through thick and thin, He's been there. Through your illnesses, through your financial shortcomings, through your broken relationships, He's been there. And why was He known as the bread of life? Why did He use bread? Because you know that when you eat bread, it comes in and it fills you up. It fills the entire stomach. Because of the yeast, it just fills. And so He's the bread of life, meaning He's the Word of God. And it should be able to spread throughout your whole being. Because He's the Word Himself. Amen? And so He wanted them to eat His bread, His Word, His life. And so we're going to look at this, and we're going to expound these verses. So let's start with verse 22. And here we go. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, they saw that there was no other there but except one which His disciples had entered. Let me pause there. I forgot to open in prayer. Father, we thank You, we bless You, we praise You. We exalt You and magnify You. Lord, I ask God that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for pausing me.
Thank You,
God. Yeah, yeah. I heard His voice. You going to acknowledge me? Yes, Lord. Here we go. Yes, Lord. Yeah, yeah. Thank You, God. Here we go. Let's start again. On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except that one which His disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Okay, this scene took place right after He fed 5,000. 5,000 bread and fish. Just imagine what that factory looked like. It just kept what? Multiplying from one basket as they passed it. Look at verse 24. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Oh. We're going to look at this a little closer.
Ouch.
Let's go to 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Verse 28. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Okay, so now they're thinking in a humanistic point of view, right? They weren't looking at it through the eyes of faith here. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. You know, that's how simple Christianity is. But we make it tough. We put all the rules and regs. You got to do this, you got to do that. You got to complete this, you got to do this. God said, just believe. Just believe in me. And watch what I do. Look at verse 30. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then? Oh, now they're looking for signs. That they may see it and believe you. You remember that old song back in the day, Sideshow? We used to always, Sideshow, that one. That old song. At Juanita's Cafe, where I was a busboy at 15, we used to play that over and over, Sideshow. Blue Magic, that's who it was. Yes, Blue Magic. And that's what they thought Jesus was, a sideshow. He was the circus king. Came in to do performance tricks. You know, pulling stuff out, like pulling a rabbit out of a hat. That was their perception. So look at this. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Oh, wow. Look at verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us that bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. You see, God knows our heart. Can I get amen? Amen. God has read each and every one of us like a book. There's nothing we can get away with that God has not seen. He has seen us publicly, and he has seen us privately. He sees all things. Nothing gets past him. Can I get amen? Amen. Verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. What? Those of you that are born again, that have given your hearts to Christ, and you know that he is yours and you are his, this should rest assured that he will never cast you out. Let me ask you this. How many have children? I don't care what they will do in life. They could probably do the worst thing in life, but you will never cast them out of your life. Huh? Well, how come we always think that God's going to cast you out? Does he have greater love than us? His love is much greater than mine. I could love you in the morning and hate you tonight. Because we're human. But God is divine. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, this is when you start reading what he says, who he is, and what he has done, this should make you happy. Yeah. You should go home happy. Say, man, Lord, you're all that and more.
Yes, Lord.
He's the God of more than enough. Can I get an
amen?
And so, look at this. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, oh, look at this, I should lose nothing. Let me pause real quick. Before you all got here, there was just a handful of us in here in prayer. And when it was about almost 10 o'clock, I said, I'm going to play some of the songs when I got ordained 20 years ago. So all the songs we heard today in worship were from 20 years ago when I got ordained. And he has kept me for 37 years. He has kept me. He never lost me. Even when I didn't want to be kept. Can I get an amen? He was always there. He's always there for you. Because he's not going to lose you. Because you're his. Look at this. But should raise it up at the last day. In other words, when God comes and resurrects the brand new body, he's going to rise you up. Hallelujah. And do the great exchange. You're going to give him this old body of flesh that's corrupt. And give you a body that's incorruptible. A body that will never perish. A body that will live forever. How many can't wait to get that body? Amen. You don't have to worry about buying any more gel for the hair. Bar of soap. Ain't no showers up there. Everything's beauty. There's nothing that decays. There's nothing that gets rotten away in heaven. Everything is life. There's no death up there. My goodness. It's going to be an incredible time when we get there to be with them. He did it all for us. He said, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at that last day. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up that last day. Praise God. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 22. Back to verse 22 and 23. And it reads, on the following day when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And then verse 24, 25 says, and when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Were they truly seeking a relationship with him? And they found him on the other side of the sea and said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And so, during this point, after he had finished feeding 5,000, Jesus always got away. He needed to get away. It's almost like he had to go be with his Father just to renew himself, to just be with the Father, that special time with God. But these people were relentless. To them, he was a sideshow. And they didn't want the circus to end yet. And so they kept coming. So one of the quickest ways to get to the other side was not going around the lake, because that would have took almost a day. They just cut across with boats. So they were just going, man, let's get on this boat and get to the other side. Those of you who've been to Capernaum know what I'm talking about. Remember when we went a couple of years ago? There were 6 boats we got on. They were tied together. We went all the way across the Sea of Galilee. It was the sea that Jesus walked on. It's a real place. Listen, when you read the areas and the mountains and the lakes and the seas in Jerusalem and in Israel, they're still there that the Bible mentions. They're still there. And so, saints, several boats arrived to Tiberias. Tiberias was one of our favorite spots. Remember Tiberias? They had a great hotel, and they had this open mall. Food everywhere. Yes, five-star hotel. They had three swimming pools. They had a water slides. Yes, I remember this one that was like 100 feet in the air. And I went down, and I should have never did that. Huh? Oh. That's like getting an enema. What do you say in Spanish? A lavativa? Help me, Jesus. Yeah, that water was coming down fast. You were like, whoo. But it was fun. It was fun. Jesus, help us. And so they were all rushing out there. So the crowd, they used those boats. They're probably going back across toward Tiberias anyway to cross Capernaum to get there. Why? So they can get to Jesus to see more tricks. So let's go now to verse 26 and 27. And it said, and Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his what? Seal on them. You see, saints, the crowd being satisfied once by what Jesus had done, said they wanted more. They said, I want more than that. A lot of them probably had a whole list of a laundry list. I need Jesus to do this and that and that and this. But they had no inclination at all to just worship him and spend time with him. They weren't there for that. No, they just say, what can I get out of him? Be careful. Be careful how you pray. Can I get amen? Amen. When you get before the Lord, yeah, you could bring a list, but let it be the last thing you say to him. The first thing is tell him how much you love him. When's the last time you said, I love you, Jesus? I love you, Lord. I love you for my family. I love you for my life. I love you for my wife, my husband, all these things, my children, my grandchildren. You start thanking him. These people had no thanks in their heart. None at all. See, they didn't realize what the miracle actually revealed to them. Jesus refused to encourage them in their desire for the material satisfaction that he could provide. His beginning response was in effect. Look at this right up here. You were so intent on being fed that you hadn't yet seen who provided the food. They had they had no desire. Where did this food come from? I just want more of it. I just want more of it. Yeah. Just bring it. I don't care who brings it. I just want more of it. You see, saints, the people may not have known it, but their needs went much deeper than that. Jesus' signs were given to reveal that he could meet these deeper needs. Did you know that God can meet any need that you have? He'll go deeper than your counselor, than a psychologist, than Dr. Spock or Oprah or Dr. Phil. Can I get an amen? God will show you what's wrong with you. And we all have issues. Every one of us have issues. And he knows them all. Look, Jesus said to them, look at what he told them. He said this, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Son of Man, can give you. They weren't seeking that. They were looking at now, what can I get now, the material things. Let me just say this. I'm going to say it as politely as I can. Jesus is not the genie in the bottle. Let me just rub it a couple times. He's not. The bread that fills the stomach, whether produced by a miraculous sign or made at the bakery, is not spiritual, eternal, the natural bread. It was temporary. It met that need at that moment because there was 5,000 waiting for him to preach. And so they were hungry. And he met that need at that moment. But they missed it. They missed it. Jesus was saying that the people should not be following him because he provided free bread, but because he provides spiritual bread. Can I get an amen?
There you go. That's it right there.
Bread that can give them eternal life.
Amen.
That's what it was. He wanted them to see that.
They missed it.
He wanted the people to look at him as the one who could provide the food that endures through eternity, which is Jesus. Do you know there's going to be food up there too? It's going to be amazing. And you know what? You know what? Here's the best part. There's not going to be no toilets up there. Nothing. There's no death in heaven. Nothing dies. So once it's consumed, it disseminates, it's gone. Man, I wish he made that for us down here. We wouldn't be having weight issues, diabetes issues, all these issues. Come on. So he's gonna take us to a place what he initially intended for us. Like back in the garden. They were made perfect. Adam and Eve was perfect until they fell. Thank you, God. And so he himself is that food. The food which brings everlasting life. You see, my friends, by coming to him and receiving him by faith, they would partake of the bread of life. But at this moment right here, as we're reading, they missed it. That's why God, the Father, sent him. Sent the Lord. That God would reveal himself to them, to us. Has God revealed himself to you? Oh, yes, he has. So let's go now to verse 28 and 29 of John chapter 6. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." You see, saints, the crowd missed Jesus' words about how he would give the food that lasts for eternal life. They asked this, "What does God want us to do?" Did you know that God doesn't want you to do anything but believe in him? There's nothing we can give to God to earn his favor. Can I get an amen? There's nothing we can do to add on to our salvation. Nothing. And God has no favorites. He loves us all equally. Tammy says she loves to jump on his lap. Well, guess what? All of us can jump on his lap. Amen? I think you jump on his lap at what, 4 in the morning?
3.
I remember you were the one that was walking at 3 in the morning when we were in Israel, in the desert. I go, "Who's that lady out there? Who's walking out there?" And then Yolanda, "Oh, that's just the Tammy." And Rabbi Jonathan Kahn was on the other end, wasn't he? But that's her MO. That God made her that way. She has that godly desire to get before him. And it's a wonderful thing. Having a relationship with him like that. See, Jesus gave a straightforward answer. Look at this. This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. Just, that's all he wants. Believe. Believe who he is. That he's the God of creation. That he spoke everything into existence. That he thought of you before he even created you. Did you know that he thought of you before that? Did you know you were in his mind before he spoke the universe into existence? He had you already on his mind. Hallelujah. He knows our past, our present, and our future. He's the God of all gods. You see, my friends, the only work God requires from us is to believe in his Son. But for some reason, we feel better somehow earning God's favor rather than accepting it as a gift. God gave us a gift. You ever got a gift and then you go, oh, how much do I owe you, man? It's a gift. You don't owe me nothing. Are you sure, man? Man, that looked like it was a lot, man. How much? Let me help you with that. I want you to have it as a gift. See, some people don't know how to receive gifts. And you know why? Because they don't know how to give away a gift. That's what makes it tough on them. There's some people that don't give gifts. They're like, you got to pull their fingers. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You see, my friends, eternal life is a gift. How many believe that? And eternal life cannot be earned. Just imagine if he said, okay, you want to get saved? All right, I need you to run 200 laps around Sweetwater's football field. And then when you're done, then I need you to do 1,000 push-ups. After a one-quarter lap, I already dropped. I can't earn that. But people, man, I got to earn it. No, it's... Eternal life is a gift. And these people didn't have no clue. He fed their temporary need to show them that I'm going to fulfill a greater need, and that's eternal life. You mean people, they probably buried during the time, and God said, I'm going to raise them up? Wow. And so, eternal life is a gift. So let's go to verse 30. Of John chapter 6, verse 30 and 31. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Okay. So they asked Jesus to do a miraculous sign if he wanted them to believe in him. My goodness, where are these folks? Where's their mind at? The crowd had just seen the miracle of the multiplication of all the loaves and fish, but they wanted more. Not just one day supply, but a guarantee of continuous supply. In other words, they wanted him to give them bread every day. Like he was the how do you say in Spanish? Panadero? We used to have one when I was a kid. They used to drive by our street. Holmes. That's right. They don't have that no more, do they? We used to run out, man, and he used to slide those shells with bread. Yeah, man. Yeah. I remember that. They don't do that no more. Because some thug will rob him and take all his bread. Back then, there was no gangsters like that. We were little. We were like, what, 8, 9? It was like Leave It to Beaver days. Donuts. Yes. We had a milkman. Yeah. We still love it. Now it's changed, right? Now you can order your milk on Amazon. DoorDash. We were in Arkansas. I said, son, do you have any Pepcid, man? I go, I think I've eat too much here. He goes, oh, no, Dan. He goes, I'll get it for you, though. I go, okay, just remember to pick it up. Door knocked about 10 minutes later. It was on the step. DoorDash. I go, is there a guy out there waiting out there for whatever you want to ask? And he runs and go gets it? No. It's amazing, huh? The times we live in. And so their argument was that their ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, which of course was available every day for nearly 40 years. Because they were there for purpose. Why were they there for 40 years? They shouldn't have been there for 40 years. Can I get an amen? But because of the hardness of their heart, God made them go around that mountain 40 years. Over and over. They should have went to the promised land directly. But no, they were stiff-necked. Yeah. See, it's cited right here in Scripture. They were trying to bring this back to, like, if Jesus wasn't there. Look, in Exodus 16:14, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. See, they were looking at the law. They had no clue that Jesus did all this by grace and mercy and his love. But back then, it was by the law. It was God said, if I don't feed them, they're just going to drop like flies. So I got to feed them during their 40 years of rebellion. And then they wanted to quote it what King David wrote. Look at this in Psalms 7:8. He rained down manna on them to eat and give them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. And so Moses, the former redeemer, he caused manna to descend from heaven so that the people at that time can eat. So they looked at Jesus, oh, you're like Moses who will feed us every day. All they wanted was fresh Wonder Bread in their cupboard to make sandwiches every day. It wasn't about that. Jesus was trying to get them to another place. And so they expected this from Jesus. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So let's go back to verse 30. Let's go to verse 32 and 33 of John chapter 6. And it reads, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Did you catch that? So now he's trying to say, listen, wait a minute. Moses didn't give you bread. It was God who gave you the bread. All Moses did was ask God to feed these llorones. He's crying, the crybabies. My goodness. So Moses, he hadn't performed the miracle. The Father had. God the Father had. And God who gave the name to the Israelites for 40 years now gives the true bread from heaven. And that is who? Jesus. He is the true bread. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so just as the Israelite saints ate manna every day, so God provides the true bread of God for daily sustenance. And guess what that is? The Word. Are you in your Word every day? Does the Scripture come to your mind that when you have that free time, are you in your Word? Because that's where you're going to get your nourishment, your true food. Because when we get to heaven, He is the Word. He is the bread. He is the door. He is the great shepherd. He is God Almighty. Jesus is everything. The Bible says that even all of the trees and the flowers and the blades of grass in heaven, all going to praise Him and praise the Lord. There's no death in heaven. I hope you know that. And I can't wait till we all get there. We're all going to be blessed when we get there. Amen? So God had given them His Son, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world as a true heavenly bread to meet their daily spiritual needs. Not their natural needs, their spiritual needs. But God will take care of the natural too. Paul wrote it best, "I will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory." So the present tense indicates the continual supply. So let's look at verse 34 right up here. "Then he said to them, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life." Oh, so now Jesus is going deeper with them. They go, what? "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." Let me ask you this question, saints. What does that mean to you? That when he says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." Let me just say it best as I could. Before each and every one of us got saved, we were all looking for love in all the wrong places. There was a void in our life. And we were trying to fill that void with many things. Sexual relationships, drugs sometimes, alcohol, gambling, whatever. Whatever devices that the enemy has, thinking that was going to fulfill my happiness. Even people that believe that education without God is still number one priority. It doesn't matter. There's a void until you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once God comes into your life, then He starts filling that void. Can I get amen? Amen. And then there's nothing. Now you can go, oh man, this is what I was looking for all my life. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 30, man, it was like, wow, this is what I've been looking for. I was going through all this and all that and doing this and doing all that. And yet that wasn't fulfilling me. It was a disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But God did the miraculous. And it says, "For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven." You know what? "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Listen, in the natural, we love that cool glass of water, don't we? Some of us put a little ice, love water. But what he's talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is considered the water of God that would come and purify us. And we would never want to thirst for any other water than that, than the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. You see, the Jews did not grasp that Jesus spoke about Himself as the bread of life. They wanted a daily supply of physical bread, saying, "Give us that bread every day of our lives." That's all they saw. They were tunnel vision. They didn't see outside the box. Like the woman at the well who asked Jesus to give her the living water so she wouldn't be thirsty again. The crowd wanted Jesus that He could give them bread every day to fulfill their physical need instead of their spiritual need. They missed the point. Jesus told them directly and said this, I am the bread of life. If people wanted this bread, they must come to Jesus and believe in him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
When Jesus used the words, I am, he was pointing to his unique divine identity. Did you know that when he told the Pharisees, I am, they wanted to stone him? And then when he said, I was there before Abraham, that I am, they wanted to throw him off the cliff. But he was there. He was there before Abraham. He was there in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's right. In the fiery furnace. He was the fourth man in the fire. God was right there in Daniel's lion's den. Jesus with David when he threw the sling. He's been there the whole time. Jesus was with us in the midst of our turmoil. In the midst of our sin, he was there. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So now how dirty it was, no matter how low it was, no matter how filthy it was, God was still there. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
To lift you up from that and to save you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Come on, somebody got to give God a shout on what he's done in your life. When I start thinking of those things, it gets me happy that he didn't leave me in that state of mind. Just imagine if he left us in that state of mind. Some of us may not even be alive today. Goodness. Jesus said it like this. I, the Lord God, am here to provide you with everything you need for your spiritual life. Spiritual life. Why? Because he knew the flesh is going to die. It's going to go back to the dust. Our flesh will go back to the dust, but our soul lives forever. And where that goes is what determines what you do here on earth. Can I get amen?
Amen?
For Jesus to say that he is the bread of life is for him to say, I am the sustenance of your life. Just as bread supplies our bodies with strength and nourishment, Jesus, the true bread, from heaven had come to strengthen and nourish his people so that they would never be hungry again and never thirst for anything that was not of God. He revealed who he was. So let's now go to verse 36. We're coming in. We only got a couple more verses. But I said to you that you have seen me, yet you do not believe. Let me ask this question. How many of you have friends and family members that you can know? You don't have to say their names, but you know them. They just don't believe. You ask them to come to church. Come on, man. Come on, just come, man. And, you know, that's good for you. Some of them will say, I'm glad you found God. That was good that you found God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was all of us.
And they're over there partying.
Partying. Drinking. Oh, man. I'm glad you found God. Lord, help us. According to some manuscripts, the reading is, you have seen me. The emphasis, saints, that the crowds had seen Jesus, the very bread of life, standing before them. And yet they had not believed in him. Other manuscripts read it like this. You have seen and still you do not believe. Okay. Never in their whole life during this time. Because they didn't have trick photography. They weren't in the digital age when he fed 5,000. They kept passing the basket. And bread and fish just kept coming out of the basket, right?
Holy
So 5,000 got fed. And yet, they missed it. There was no magician back then that could do that. They couldn't go to Las Vegas to see a show like that. They had no TV. They didn't have an iPhone. They didn't have AI. Yet, he was right before them. You know, Jesus, for some people, can be right there next to them, and they'll still miss him. They'll still miss him. They won't sing. This is why we need to pray. Did you know prayer means a whole lot?
Yes.
This is why you got to be on your face praying for them. Well, the prayers that I pray, oh God, Lord, give them a mind to be saved. Give them a heart to repent. Oh God, you don't wish anything bad about them. You just pray salvation for them. Oh God, save them. Oh God, deliver them. Oh God, help them, oh God, because I was there. Oh God, and you did that for me. God, please do that for them. That's all you have to do. It's just let God know that your desire is to see them saved too. And let God do the rest. Leave it in His hands. Believe God for all things. No matter how they mock you and laugh at you and ridicule you. Bible says, blessed are those who persecute you for my name's sake. Let them. It's okay. It's okay. Don't get offended. Don't get mad. You can't get mad. Why? Because we once said the same thing. And so they had not only seen but eaten the multiplied bread and fish, but they resisted the necessary conclusion that he was divine. So let's now go to verse 37. We've got three more verses to break down. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Once again, only those selected by God can come to the Son and believe on Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, God selected you. And then tell your neighbor, God chose you. But don't say this, I don't know why, but He did. My goodness. Look at all that the Father gives me will come to me. So here's how it works. Jesus' Father, He goes through the power of the Holy Spirit. He makes a sovereign choice. Then He gives you a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. Then He gives you to His Son. And Jesus says, I'm not going to lose one of them that my Father gives me. So God, in His divine, infinite mind, already knew who you were. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, He already knew you. He already had a plan for you. He saw your life played out before Him. Jesus, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look what I found in John 17. See, the Father gives the collective group to the Son. So the Father goes around, he rounds them up. Then He gives them to the Son. Look at this. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority of all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. Did you catch that? I need you to catch that last verse right there. That you, look at this. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. So all those that the Father rounds up, gives them to Jesus, we were included in that group. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, your friends and family, were they included? We don't know the time that he's going to come to them. So all God wants us by faith is to believe that they're coming. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And pray for them. Pray for them. Even in their most wicked moments, it's okay. Because we were once there, no differently. And so I need you to just start, when you're worshiping God and you're praying, just picture them sitting next to you worshiping God. Just say, God, I see them already worshiping you, God. Believe God for all things. Believe that God will deliver them. Because he has done that for us. And I need you to understand this morning that we are secure in him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I don't care what comes your way. I don't care if the government shuts down. I don't care if we get attacked by other countries. It don't matter. He's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. All those who have been invited to come to Jesus and have done so can rest assured that God was at work in their lives. He was at work in your life. Did you know that? For some of you, when I could recall before the custodian led me to the Lord at Horizon, I remember about maybe a week and a half that led up to that. He was already like putting in me that I wanted to quit what I was doing. I didn't know why. I don't want to smoke that no more. I don't want to do that no more. It was like, because he was already working in me. He was getting me to that place of repentance. I didn't know it. I didn't know that term. I didn't know what he was doing. All I knew, I didn't want to do this stuff no more. And then the time came. Bam, and then the miracle took place. And so, while the first part of this verse speaks of the collective group of believers, this second part speaks about the individual. Look at this. I will never reject them. Do you know God will never reject you? You're his. Did you know that you are sealed? I got word to back that up. I got word. I got his word to rest assured that God will say what he says. Look at John 10:28. Look at this. He'll never reject us. Right here, John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall what? Never what?
Never perish.
Never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My goodness. Who in this world or in this universe can snatch you out of the palm of God's hand? Nobody. No one. Nothing can. He says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Praise God. Come on, somebody need a shout on that one. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! You can go to bed tonight. Thank God, I'm forever yours, Lord. Even with all your goofiness and silliness, he loves you to death. The protection covers them in this life and also for eternity. Our spiritual hunger, saints, and thirst are satisfied in this life when we find him and know him personally. Then the voids become vague and gone. And then now he's in us, moving in our being. But there's one thing that God is asking once we get saved is learn sanctification.
Yes.
What does sanctification mean? That means learn now to live holy before him. Live holy. Now, it's not work. It's not a work salvation. He's already done it on the cross. But if your loved ones want to sing God in you, They need to see a radical change in you. You don't go to those places no more. You don't hang out with those who chew and those who do. You don't and smoke and do all that. No. And when they got all that foul garbage coming out of their mouth, get out of there. You don't need to, you don't need those words to come. Those words are destructive words. Words are powerful. And when you hear them cussing and swearing, get out of there. Get out of, just get out of there. Don't let it affect your spirit. Do you know you have the power to refuse to listen to that? And if you get invited to a place and that's all they're doing, leave. Because you're not going to change them. And your job is not to change them. Your job is to let nothing affect your spiritual ears and your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Yes, be sanctified. And let God use you mightily. Because people need to see a change. They need to see a change. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to look at our last two verses and then we'll close. Verse 38. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Thank you, Lord.
Who sent me. Who's the one that sent God? His Father. Look at this. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as may be one as we are. So, what does that mean? That means when Christians find out that we are a child of God, do you know that a lot of things we do are alike? It's called koinonia spirit. Are you familiar with that? A koinonia spirit, meaning we can talk all about the Lord all day long. We're no longer talking about the world things and the garbage things. And we could talk about Jesus and we just want to keep on talking about the Lord. But you can't do that with an unbeliever. Because what comes out of their mouth is bleep, bleep, blap, bleep, bleep, blap, blap. Yeah. And all they do, yeah, that's right. All they want to do is chug it down. Let me open up another one. I'm on. No, we have a different way of living, don't we? And so, the last two verses. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up that last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up that last day. What does he mean by that last day? That's called the day of the Lord. When he comes, he will raise us up. When the trumpet blows, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. The Bible says that this body will put on a body of incorruption. And this mortal body will put on a body of immortality. Hallelujah. And we will be changed. And we will be just like him. Hallelujah. And we will see him face to face. How many of you can't wait for that? Because it's coming. It's going to hang on. Hang on. Come on, we're not going to be in this world much longer. But the time that we do have, let God use you mightily. Be used by God. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them that he's coming soon.
Yes.
Tell them that he loves you. He wants a better life for you. Tell them what he's done for you, he could do for you. Even if they laugh and mock, it's okay. Listen, God's word will not come back void.
Right.
Sow that seed in their heart.
That's right.
And watch it grow. Because there'll come a time in their life where they'll remember what was sown in their heart. And then they'll start thinking about Jesus. And that's when God will get a hold of it. And then he'll make the apprehension. He'll arrest their spirit.
Hallelujah.
He arrested us, didn't he?
Right.
Oh yeah, we weren't running to him. We were running from him. I don't know what back alley he found me in, but he found me. Brother Felipe says he found him in a dipsy dumpster next to a rotten tortilla by a dried up cantaloupe. Yeah. And so, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you that we have everlasting life. We thank you for the joy that was set before us now. As we press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us here on earth. Lord, that we may use these blessings to glorify you, to magnify you, to let others know that you are who you are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there is no one that sits next to you. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. And I want to give this extension, this olive branch to those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you logged in and just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.